Welcome to the JockX Podcast, episode 58. My name is Jock, your host, and this is where we are going to take your game in business or sport to the next level. And we do this by inviting on incredible guests each week to learn their tips, their tools, their strategies, the principles they live by that got them their incredible results. And us as listeners can grab a hold of these tools, grab a hold of these strategies, apply them to our own games and reap the benefits and empower our greatness. And I'm excited to have on this week Tammy Ruse. Now, Tammy is an author, a meditation facilitator, and intuitive counselor. She has also written for the Huffington Post, and she currently works with AFL clubs like Melbourne Football Club, who incidentally is coached by her husband, Paul Ruse. And she has done this for a number of years, really become an absolute expert in the field, particularly of this discussion of meditation. And she's written a couple of books, and this is where we get to dive in. And I'm excited because I think with my own personal view on it, it's become a big part of my life over the last 12 months. And I really highly recommend each and every one to at least give it a really good try and really get into it. And you'll see the benefits, I'm pretty sure. I've definitely have noticed changes within myself. And I highly recommend meditation as being a part of your daily practice, which will improve your overall well-being, health, and overall performance, which is what we're exactly about here, and is why the reason we have Tammy on here to discuss the ins and outs of it, how to do it properly, how to do it to gain maximum benefit. And I just overall really enjoyed this conversation, and I think it's a necessity and a one that needed to happen on this podcast for you folks around the globe to listen into. So without further ado, we're going to introduce Tammy. But just before we do that, show notes for this episode is going to be on eliteteamleadership.com.au/EP58. We'll have links to Tammy's websites, her books, and so forth, and other cool stuff on there, and show notes about this episode. Definitely check that out. And also, guys, if you can tell a couple of friends, whether you do that now by text or message, email, however it is, make sure you pass on to a couple of people about Tammy, about this episode, and about this podcast in general, because that keeps us going in the right direction. That keeps these amazing guests like Tammy coming through the door, and that keeps the whole show on the road. So thank you very much for that. So make sure you tell a couple of buddies, a couple of friends, a couple of family members, whatever it needs to be. That is a big help to us. And recommend this show, as that is a super thing for you to do for us and show your support. So thank you for that. But we're going to get stuck in without further ado to episode 58 with Tammy Ruse. So welcome to the show, Tammy.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's exciting to have you here, and we can finally sit down and go through some of the things that you're really involved with. So I'd love to sort of start off with a bit about your background and what you've studied in the past, and what your current role looks like today.
Sure. I grew up in California, so my background from a study standpoint was in international business. I had a degree in marketing and trade, and do speak Spanish. So I had the background with the foreign language and studied abroad and lived in Spain. So everything was looking like I was going towards a career in business and marketing as such. And then in 1999, my husband Paul and I, we went off and did a primordial sound weekend workshop that was actually facilitated by someone who was taught by Deepak Chopra. And so we learned to meditate. And what happened post that weekend's meditation was that I really took to it like the proverbial, like water to it. What's the saying? Water to duck's back. Is that the saying?
Something like that. Yeah, we'll run with that.
Anyway, we'll run with that one. I loved it, and it became a non-negotiable for me. And I really embraced the practice because of the benefits I was experiencing. And what started happening was that a lot of people started asking me, what are you doing? You seem so different. You're so calm. Can't believe this. And I kept saying, no, nothing's different. Nothing's different. And then one day it dawned on me, oh my gosh, it's like, I remember the facilitator actually saying to us in that weekend workshop, You may not be noticing the differences, but others will notice it first. And then the penny dropped, and I thought, this is all because of meditation. This byproduct that people are witnessing is from the meditation. So I then investigated, because I knew I was so passionate about meditation. I was meditating twice a day, which you don't have to do, but that was my choice. I went ahead and got my PhD in parapsychic science and wrote my dissertation on meditation, the benefits to the physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional bodies. And so I wrote that and began teaching in 2003. I knew I wanted to have a background, something, a foundational, those three letters, it might sound funny, but it wasn't something that's airy-fairy. There's a lot of science behind meditation and the reason why it's so beneficial and what it was doing. And I actually really wanted to understand that at that type of really base level. And I believe that it really helped me to be able to teach and have the confidence as well, knowing that not only did I have the experiential experience from meditating daily, but I also now had the background knowledge, the research, the studies, all the books and from the different masters and teachers and scientists worldwide that had investigated meditation.
Yeah, and we were sort of discussing before, 2016, meditation has become such a mainstream type activity for the everyday person, really, isn't it? And what do you think are some of the key contributors to that becoming so mainstream and so vital to today's society?
I honestly think that because our pace of life is just frantic. And I think that what we're witnessing with the advent, which technology is wonderful, but with the advent of instant messaging and Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat, and then you've got, your emails, etc., people are feeling more and more like they're on 24/7. And part of what happens from that is that they actually don't feel like they can turn off. I mean, you go out into a cafe these days and you see everyone glances at their phone. They're trying to check, did I get an email? So it's created, as much as there's so much instant information, which is great, and we have the ability to do amazing things like this podcast, there is a negative, so to speak, which is people don't know how to turn off anymore. And the World Health Organization has identified by the year 2020, the greatest single cause to governments worldwide is going to be mental health issues. So we really need to be looking at ways to slow down and hit the pause button so that we can actually recharge our batteries.
That's an incredible stat, isn't it? By 2020.
So it's actually quite scary when you think we're at 2016 and there's
this 3.5 years away.
Unbelievable climb. And we are witnessing it. It's anxiety, it's depression, it's the suicide rates. It's just people feeling incredibly out of control, I guess is a good way of putting it. And what meditation does is it allows you to have that reprieve. You get that pause button and you can then just sit back and go, okay, wow, this is the pause that I needed. And what's interesting, and when I'm teaching or if I'm doing, working with corporations or doing a public speaking event, I always kind of give the example, if I was interviewing you, James, for a job, and I say to you, James, this is your new job description. You're going to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. You have no time off. You have no holidays. And you actually have no chance of quitting. Would you take this job? And everyone looks at me and goes, well, no, you're kidding. And I said, but that's exactly what our mind is doing for us. So there's a bit of a, a lot of people say to me, yeah, but no, I sleep at night. And that's just from they're not understanding, but your mind is still working when you sleep at night. You're dreaming, you're tossing and turning, you might be downloading the day's events, you might be thrashing things over. It's your subconscious mind is still working when you're sleeping. So that's actually not true. And then others will say to me, oh yeah, but I turn off when I go for a run, I can go to another place. What we're talking about when I say meditation is really relaxing the body and allowing the mind to settle down naturally. So it's like a stillness. You get that heightened awareness through that deep relaxation. So your body and mind together are at rest. Very different than, if you're out running or you're working in the garden or you're out for a surf and you say, I can check out. Yeah, you can, but your body's still moving. Yeah. And your mind is still having to do things to work out how you're going to stand on that board or how I'm going to, so you're still working. And this is why the meditation is such a benefit.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. A few episodes, some listeners remember, I had a guy by the name of Andre Obradovic on the show, and he sort of really specializes in sleep and nutrition. And he just thinks you're crazy to have like electronics in your bedroom, like trying to go to sleep with, you know, with messages coming through. And he talks about, you know, the importance of sleep in this day and age, and obviously he goes through nutrition as well. And with just that World Health Organization stat just blows me away. I haven't heard of that one before, but it makes sense. And it's even interesting, like today I was on the radio and my family's down the country, and there's a lot of farmers, for instance, in a lot of stress in the mind because they're literally, long story short, they've dropped the milk prices down, so basically they're not going to make any money for the time being. And there's actually been a government task force now being put together for looking after these farmers and their mental health, because you think of the strain and stress they're going through. And I guess what I'm getting at, you know, things like meditation, these, you know, difficult times with the stress people have on, I'm sure is crucial to help people get through tough situations, I guess.
Absolutely. And the beauty of meditation is once you actually know how to meditate, it doesn't cost you anything other than 5 to 10 minutes a day. And that's something that I really like to get across in this message today, is you can really impact your life in a positive manner in as little as 5 to 10 minutes a day. Once you know how to meditate, you have this tool at your disposal. You can meditate on holidays, you can meditate on a train, you can meditate on a bus, you can meditate in your car, you can shut your office door if you know, before you have a big meeting, and you can meditate for 5 to 10 minutes to clear your mind. It is such a powerful and such an effective tool with so little time. But the key to this is, and what most people may or may not understand, is that meditation is a cumulative practice, which means the more that you actually practice it, the better not only that you become, but also the better the benefits, because they're more sustained. You start making more lasting, permanent changes the longer and the more frequently you can meditate. So in saying that, my meditation is a daily practice, and I've been meditating daily since 1999. For me, it is that non-negotiable. It's like brushing my teeth. But I know if I was to miss a day, I know that my day doesn't go smoothly.
Yeah.
So I actually feel the difference. But if you know and have something at your disposal, it's not costing you anything but that 5 to 10 minutes. It's not a pill. Okay, you're not on a prescription. It is something that's natural, and it is so beneficial to all the areas of your life. It's really what starts actually impacting your overall outlook on life, your emotional standpoint. You become less reactive, your communication skills improve, your thinking is better, your clarity, your sleep improves. I mean, I can go on and on with the benefits, but it is amazing what meditation can do for you naturally, with as little as 5 to 10 minutes.
Is there anyone who should meditate, or is there any situation where maybe you should stay away from meditation?
Not that I can think of, or not that I've come across.
Yeah.
I truly believe that any man, woman, or child can learn to meditate. We're all unique, absolutely. We all have individual preferences, so I think that's really probably more to the point. I know that when I'm teaching and I get clients coming to me asking me to teach meditation, oftentimes, and unfortunately it might be those that are feeling really stressed out, I'd love to get them before they get to that point, but I do like knowing that I have a tool that I can help impart to them that they can actually then learn and utilize to change their life and feel more in control. And I think that's the big thing is at the moment, with what we're talking about, with the speed of society, with the technology, with feeling on 24/7, a lot of people fall into trap of feeling like, well, now I'm not a good mother, or I'm not a good father or partner or a colleague at work, or I'm, you know, it actually starts building. So one area starts being effective, you try to compromise or, you know, overcompensate for that area of your life, and then the other one suffers. So what you need to try to do is go, okay, well, hang on, what can I do that's going to have a positive effect on all of these areas? And that is the well-being, the mental side of things. I think that's why too, when people ask me a lot about working with athletes, why would athletes do this? And it's like, well, they're already phenomenal athletes. They're already doing the you know, they've got dietitians, they have strength and conditioning coaches. They have so much at their disposal to help them, making sure they get good night's sleeps, you know, et cetera, that But the one area that you see that's going to make a difference is above the shoulders, and that's getting the mental side right.
How have you found, we were discussing pre-recording, with your work, with the, you work closely with your husband's football team. Talk to me about the impact you felt with the players, working with them on a weekly basis, and some of the, you know, some of the feedback you've been getting from them, you know, high level professional athletes, and helping their, you know, performance on game day.
No, it's been incredible, and I feel very fortunate. I do feel blessed to be able to work with these guys because they are so professional, and it means a lot to them. Their performance, they know they're judged. I'm not sure if many people out there think about this, but you know, their industry, to be a professional athlete or professional coach, you're being judged publicly and on a weekly basis. That causes a lot of stress. And you've got, you know, some of these boys are 19 years old. You've got a lot of different things going on, every one of us, you know, in our personal lives. Some, you know, might have the new partner, or some are married and some have kids, and you're juggling a lot of things. And you're trying to bring something to the table one day a week that, you know, everyone's watching and tuning into, and then that's going to be open for public scrutiny, okay? And they understand that comes with the territory.
And the general public doesn't care about it. They just think, they just want you to perform on Saturday, and that's all that matters.
That's
they don't see them as having...
So they don't see that robot concept sometimes gets a bit like, you know, well, and you kind of have to remind people, hang on a minute, they're doing the best they can.
Yeah.
And really, no player ever enters the field wanting to make a mistake or desiring to make a mistake. They're trying their best.
Yeah.
So what I've seen in working with them, this is my third year now at Melbourne, and I worked previously with the Sydney Swans, is that they actually can feel the difference. So I'm working both meditation and visualization with the team, two different concepts, two different programs we're running. And in both instances, I look at really, and with athletes, with meditation, because I was already mentioned before, it's about quieting or letting the body slow down naturally, and then you're quieting the mind. So with athletes, that's pretty easy because they've obviously trained pretty hard. So it's easy. Their body's already, you know, they've already exerted themselves. They don't have a lot of excess energy, so to speak. So with athletes, it's about it's resetting the bar. So it's recharging the batteries. It's bringing them back mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually into balance. And that's what the practice does for them. So it does it for everyone. So I shouldn't just quantify that. But that's really what they notice, is they just think, wow, I needed that. And that's, I hear that more often than not when they come out of the meditation. You know, I was exhausted before that. Now I feel fantastic. I had a player last week to say, you know, this was really sore and stiff. What happened? What was I doing in that meditation? Like, I feel amazing now. So it actually starts working on so many subtle levels. Their sleep's improved, and they're really able, and the focus, the clarity is what's enhanced as well. So it's about that decision-making, really feeling like, I don't know if you've ever seen the visual, James, of, there's this great photo that someone once took of it. You see an iceberg, and you see the top of it.
Yep.
But what, and you see this point at the top, and it's in the water.
Yep.
But what you don't realize is this absolutely solid foundation below.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's what, you know, for anyone, what we tend to forget as humans going through this life experience with all the stresses we all have, is that when you start tapping into this inner world, okay, when you start quieting the mind and you're tapping into the stillness. And I'll say here too, I'm not saying that these players or myself have no thoughts when we meditate. I think that's really done meditation a bit of harm, because people will always have thoughts. It's about learning to control the number of thoughts, but understanding that below this chaotic, call it waves in the ocean, you can find a still point that really resettles you, and you can get to this space of being calm.
Yeah.
So you can reset. And that's what they find through the breath and the meditation, the visualization, is we can go back to a set point, still, calm, composed.
Do you think this is more sort of helping those elite athletes on a well-being level or performance level more? Which ones do you reckon you are, or they're going hand in hand?
They go hand in hand. Yeah. I wouldn't actually, as you were asking, I was saying, I wouldn't preference either one, because I actually think in order to perform optimally, did I say that correctly? You have to be feeling in a state of, you know, have a good sense of well-being. You have to feel prepared. You have to feel good about yourself. You have to feel physically strong, mentally strong, clear. So it goes hand in hand.
Yeah. And have you seen this across other, like, you know, sporting codes or sporting clubs, that they're doing similar practices yet? Or you sort of
look,
find...
I know that the United States Olympic team does a lot of meditation and visualization. I know the Russian team is as well. I know that there's been numerous, you can go onto YouTube and you can see, I mean, Phil Jackson introduced it through all of his championships. Both the Chicago Bulls and the LA Lakers were meditating regularly before practicing games, doing a lot of visualization as well. I know that, you know, when Tiger Woods was at his height, when he was, you know, looking invincible, I mean, meditation was a huge practice, and they talked a lot about that. Jason Day works current, I think he's the current number one in the world golfer.
He is.
He does a lot of meditation visualization. So it's powerful. There's a lot of people doing it. The Seattle Seahawks, which is a professional NFL team.
Yeah.
They,
what's their coach,
Tom Carroll.
He's right into it, isn't he?
Yeah, so he introduced it the year they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That they'd introduced meditation that year,
he's
and the team was meditating regularly. So that was, I believe, we're 2016 now. So I think it was the 2013 season, possibly, that they won it.
Yeah.
And that year they introduced...
2 years ago, basically. They introduced
meditation that year.
Yeah, amazing.
And it's amazing because you look at these linebackers, these big guys, and they're saying, hey... It's not about muscles.
Mm.
It's not about how far I can run, because you know a professional athlete is already gifted as an athlete.
Mm.
It is about what's above the shoulders.
Well, it's even, I was down in the pro surf comp down here, and Mick Fanning is a heavy, you know, believes strongly in meditation. He's obviously, you know, very, you know, been doing it for a while now. And I just noticed, like, there was a few thousand people there gathered around him, and he was on the beach prior to going out to his heat meditating. Like, and I thought that he's obviously, you know, very skilled at it, I guess, if you like, because I don't think I could sit there and do it with that many people watching me without losing focus. But, you know, and you see the performances of those guys in the heat of battle of, you know, 10, 15 foot waves coming through. And I guess, in a, you know, like with you, with the football, it's, you know, just as important to get that best performance of, out of yourself, and it's obviously above the shoulders. For listeners wanting to, you know, who haven't started, and I have mentioned in previous episodes that I just sort of started through the online apps, like, very simply. How would you recommend someone who hasn't meditated before, how do they get involved with it and start to make it a part of their daily routine?
Oh, I mean, that's a fantastic question, because there is obviously a lot of different CDs out there. There is different apps out on the market now that you could, you know, that people can download. And If number one, if it's something that you feel that, you know, this conversation interests you and you'd like to find or learn about the skill of meditation, so to speak, the best thing to do is to ask around in your local community, start investigating for yourself, and find a teacher that you really resonate with. I do feel like those students that get themselves a teacher or even a workshop, to get that hands-on experience with other people is invaluable. And that's what I found from my weekend workshop, was just getting that experience was just so important to really understand, to be able to ask, to have some experiential sessions with the group. Really made a difference, because you do have questions. You're always going to have questions initially. And you'll question, why did this happen? This is what's happening. How can you help me with this? You know, even as simple as, oh, look, I tried it lying down and then I fell asleep. And then you go, well, that's right, because you can't lie down to meditate. You actually really need to sit upright with legs straight out in front of you, or cross-legged to meditate. But there's things that you go through about how you actually plant the seeds. Or you brought up farmers before, like anything, when you're going to plant a crop, you've got to get the soil right.
Yeah.
And I talk a lot about getting, you know, tilling the soil, getting it ready to, so that's like meditation. You pick a room you like to be in, wear comfortable clothing, things that you wouldn't think about, but you don't want to meditate if you're sitting there in a suit and a tie and you feel, my jacket's too tight, and you're thinking about that. You're going to be agitated rather than feeling like you can relax. So there's a lot of things that go into meditating and setting it up so that you can have more success.
Yeah.
Understanding that a lot of trust comes into the practice and go from there. I actually ended up, based on the feedback I got from numerous students and from a lot of people talking to me, I wrote a book called The Gift, Presence to Power. And it's a 21-chapter book. And it really takes you through from... it's a guidebook that actually allows you. It's not only meditation, but it does take you through step by step. And it gives you exercises that you can do through the book.
Yep.
But it allows you also... It talks about journaling. It does talk about gratitude exercises, visualization, the power of being out in nature, breath work. So there's a lot of different areas that the book goes through that builds on a meditation practice, the mindfulness component. So I actually think that that's from the feedback I've gotten and some wonderful, endorsements of people who have actually really followed the book and the change that it's made in their life. I would recommend that that's something that you could start with if you just want to read about it, find out a little bit more.
Where could they get that from if they want to grab hold of that book?
You can get that on Amazon.
Yep.
It's also available through Kindle. If you have a Kindle, if you'd like to do the e-reader, you can get it in Kindle form or e-book form. I've done an audio version as well. So I actually do an Audible version for the book, which is actually available on our website, which is The Roos Synergy.
Yep.
So that's available there. So
I can put links up on my site. So
that would be wonderful.
Yeah, grab a hold of.
The book though really does, and I mean, and ironically enough, I have a great endorsement from Lane Beachley. So
yeah.
And a few of the other, and for those that don't know, I mean, she's, the best women's surfer that's ever been.
World champion.
So she's and she just said this book, it really, when I wrote it, I said this should be for an 8 to an 80-year-old. It does not dumb it down at all. But it's a very easy read. It's self-explanatory. There's some, I've got some illustrations within the book as well. I also have a couple tracks, meditation tracks as well that go hand in hand. One's called The Sanctuary and the other's The Gift. One's a 10-minute meditation and another's a 20-minute. Accompanied by my voice, I lead you into a guided meditation and then I bring you out of it. You have moments of silence within that. And accompanied by beautiful music. So it's a great way to start your practice. And I've had a lot of, success with others using that.
Yeah, fantastic. And sort of from that, from your meditation, who are some of the mentors that you've had along the way since 1999 when you started? Who are sort of some of the key people that have, enhanced your practice in this area?
Another really good question. I really, really, because I was someone who, I guess, like I said, I just loved it from the minute I started. I read a lot like Deepak Chopra. Yeah. So obviously I read a lot of his books. Wayne Dyer, who was just amazing and unfortunately no longer is with us, but his work is unbelievable. I went to a lot of conferences and obviously through all my readings too, there was an amazing book by a Buddhist nun named Aya Khema called Being Nobody, Going Nowhere.
Okay,
and it was brilliant. I love that. Dan Millman's stuff, a lot of his books were amazing. Okay. Caroline Miss, Anatomy of the Spirit. I really surrounded myself with other teachings and teachers. I absolutely love the movie Awake, which was the life story of Yogananda Paramahansa. And his book, Autobiography of a Yogi, that's pretty full on stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is just some amazing books out there that can really lead those that want to further their journey with meditation. But Deepak Chopra, he's got some great introductory, and John Zabat-Zinn, who's considered, a foremost expert as well. So there's some really good information out there.
Yeah, well, that's actually a question I had for later. So along with those books, are there any other ones you would recommend, listeners to get a hold of and have a read
In terms of just meditation,
In terms of meditation or whatever you think would be beneficial?
Paul and I both, and it was funny, we got introduced. This was actually going around the tennis tour, professional tennis tour, which was a book by Dan Millman, which was The Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Oh, I've seen the movie.
The book is brilliant.
Yeah.
I'd say the book is absolutely brilliant. And that book, it was actually quite interesting because once we started reading that, it led me to Paulo Coelho and The Alchemist. And that was something that, you know, those books really got you thinking about what's possible. And those things were just fantastic from the standpoint that you went, I guess, further with the journey. I'm trying to think of who else I really loved. Caroline, Mrs. Anatomy of the Spirit.
Yep.
That was fantastic because you do get some people talking about, you know, I guess more in depth about the chakra system and getting into different things. That was a book for me that started answering a lot of those questions. There's a wonderful Australian author. He wrote the book called The Quiet. I highly recommend that. That was such an enjoyable book to read. And
what was the author's name, sorry?
I believe it's Brian Wilson.
Brian Wilson, okay.
Fantastic. But yep. It is called The Quiet.
Yep.
I apologize if I've just gotten his name wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's his surname. And amazing.
Yeah.
You know, someone who grew up in, I think it was, you know, in Queensland, like in the outback, and his whole journey and how he discovered meditation. Made it really, really interesting. There's just amazing books out there that you can get your hands on.
Do you think, obviously, I've spent a lot of time in the States. Do you think the States are ahead of Australia in terms of meditation, or do you think Australia is on par, if you like?
In answering that, I would say I think probably a lot of the very well-known or more publicized so-called experts are coming from the States. And maybe that's sheerly from the marketing or the, you know, I don't know, the size of our population and just the entire network over there. But I would say that America has, I guess, more well-recognized people talking about meditation and doing those types of things. But there's some amazing people here in Australia as well. That, you know, are great at teaching meditation and the different forms. And I think I'll add that here too at this point in time, because there's a lot of different types of meditation. You people talk about transcendental meditation. You hear people talk about, I started this off with primordial sound. Some, you know, work with silence. Some only like guided meditations. Some, you know, so the reality is there's a lot of different types of meditation. And I would say to the audience, find the one that you resonate with. I've never believed that there's only one type of meditation. It's one way or hit the highway. It's like, you know, many masters, many ways. There's what works for you is what I would encourage you to do.
Yep.
And not to limit yourself, because you really can. Anyone can learn to meditate, but it's a personal choice. You either say, I really want to learn this and I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to prioritize this. And make this something that I'm going to commit to for, I mean, some scientists are saying that in 21 days you can make something a habit. Now I know that there's, Hay House is huge out of America, and they really endorse that concept in 21 days. But I would say, test yourself, challenge yourself, put out yourself, you know, for the next 21 days, I will allow myself 5 to 10 minutes a day to do this meditation and see what the benefits are. And another little trick of the trade is rate yourself. Rate yourself before you meditate on a scale of 1 to 10. How do I feel right now before I sit down? And then ask yourself again, how do I feel after? And be honest, it's for you. No one else has seen this. You're not being judged. And it's just for your benefit. But write it down. Have a working document or a journal and just note, I'm sleeping a lot better now. Yeah. I don't feel nearly as anxious. I actually feel calmer. That conversation today went a lot better than it would have if I hadn't have done that. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's there's so many benefits, but until you start seeing, and like I said to you, it was when other people started saying to me, you're really changing, then the penny dropped for me. Mm. Since I've been teaching, I've come up with all these other ways to actually help others get to that point that I was getting to, with little tricks or little, tips to help, you know, go along the way.
Fantastic. I've got a sort of few questions here that I like to ask each guest. What does an average day look like for you? So what's like sort of, if you could take us and walk us through your average,
My average day.
Yeah.
Wake up, meditate first thing. I always meditate in my bed. So I sit up, I'm already comfortable and relaxed. I meditate. then I do some form of exercise. So I'm big into that. And I know a lot of people will kind of go, oh, great. But that is something that I've done my whole life. So I know that if I get the mental and the physical, then my day just goes really well. So, and then I go about my day. If it's teaching, I also do a blog for the Huffington Post. So if it's writing, I'll look at, just the day flows from there. Because I'm an independent contractor, so to speak, I'm not locked into a 9-to-5 job,
yep.
Which I feel very fortunate because I'm teaching and doing something I love. My day is based on what clients I have and who I'm working with at the time. And then, in the evening, it's family time, and then meditation before I go to sleep at night, and I go to sleep. Yeah. So it's a really, there's not a lot of different variables, if you put it that way. Like, I do have a lot of habits, I guess, that I've created, which is my meditation and my exercise.
Yep.
That is a habit for me on a daily basis.
So outside of meditation and exercise, are there any other key sort of non-negotiable things you have to do each day?
Have fun. Have a bit of enjoyment in life. I think it's really important. I think we have to kind of lighten up. I think that's what I'm really witnessing around me is everyone just looks like they've got this massive 200-pound sack on their back. And if we can just find something to be grateful for every day, I think then not only does our outlook change, our perspective change, but your energy levels change, more things start coming to you and things look more positive. And to be honest, I think we have to start focusing on solutions and what we can do to empower ourselves rather than focusing on problems or what's not going right. Because look, I think we've all done that for long enough. It's about changing that perspective. What can I do to actually enhance, or how can I find a solution to make this better?
Mm.
So gratitude is huge. If you can be grateful for something every day, yeah.
When I say successful person, who do you think of and why?
I love that question. Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
He is someone that I absolutely just so looked up to for what he did with the circumstances that not only that he was born into, but what he overcame and how he persevered through being on Robben Island and incarcerated for the number of years that he was. But to recognize that when he got released from jail, that unless he forgave everyone, he would still be behind bars or in jail and he wasn't going to benefit anyone. And what he did for South Africa and that country, but I think really the example he gave humanity about the power of forgiveness and that anything's possible is phenomenal. And I would say that he led a very successful life. He did so much good.
Now, we mentioned a few books before. Are there any further movies or documentaries you'd recommend listeners should get a hold of and have a look at?
I'm trying to just go back. It's funny. Paul and I know it's an old movie. It's an oldie but a goodie, which was Field of Dreams.
Yes, yeah.
But you got to see it. You got to believe it, and then they'll come. That's a little bit about like visualization with anything. You got to have some dreams. You have to have some goals. You have to believe it's possible. A documentary that I thought was just amazing, which a lot of people have heard about and seen, is they named me Malala. Now, that came out earlier this year, and I mean, she's phenomenal to take on the Taliban and, they shot her in the face and, they didn't think she was going to live, and to hear her talk with such presence and grace and to know that there was a reason why this happened and that she's not going to bow to the fear is phenomenal. She's just an incredibly powerful voice for women, for education, but also for rising above fear.
What was that one called again that they called
He named me Malala.
Okay. I
have to get which is that M-A-L-A-L-A.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. I'll have to get a hold of that.
Amazing.
One. What advice would you have for your 20-year-old self?
To trust myself more. When I look back, I did things at that stage of my life for others first, rather than myself. I knew the field I wanted to go into, And I started listening to everyone else. You know, you should do this because, you know, you have a second language and you can make a lot of money and you could do da 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 da. When I actually wanted to go into being a, I actually wanted to be a physical fitness, a trainer. I wanted to work. I always knew I wanted to work with athletes, ironically enough, and I am now in a very different capacity, which is quite funny. But, and I didn't follow that path. And I really felt like when I guess meditation found me, so to speak, I knew then and there that I can then go back to what I really wanted to do since I was early 20s, which was help people. And I just found it in a different format or way, but I'm still helping people. And ironically enough, like I said, I'm helping a lot of athletes.
Yep. Perfect. Just a few more questions I have for you. If I could give you a banner and you could place that banner anywhere in the world, where would it be and what would it say?
I know exactly what it would say. It would say choose to be. And that is something that I've talked a lot about for a number of years, because we all have the power within us to choose. So choose to be, and whatever that is, whatever your heart's desire is, go for it. But we have to take personal responsibility. We have to acknowledge it's no one else's journey, it's ours. So we have to make the choice. So choose to be. Whatever that may be for you, then that's perfect. If you are operating authentically from who you are, then that's exactly what you should be doing. But you have to choose it. So choose to be would be my banner. Where would I post it? I'd have it on the moon as a reminder for everyone, so everyone would see it every single night.
Perfect. I like that one. We touched on it earlier. It's actually a perfect question. What are you grateful for in your life right now?
Well, this moment right now, I'm doing this podcast, and hopefully someone will be affected positively for what you and I have just spoken about, and they'll create some change that actually really helps them, and they're not feeling as stressed or overwhelmed, burdened. They know that there's some tools out there that they can get access to that's really going to help them. I'd be grateful for that right now.
Perfect. Well, I really want to acknowledge you for coming on the show, all the amazing work you're doing, obviously with professionally and just with people in general. And I'm, you know, excited to release this podcast, excited to watch you over the coming months and years and all the amazing work you're doing. So
thank you. I appreciate the time. Sorry, I apologize for that little clanking of the door twice during that, but yeah.
No, that's so fine. No. And actually, just on that, where would be the best spot for people to get a hold of you and maybe check out more of your stuff?
I have a website, so www.tammyroos.com, so they can go onto that, and the Roos Synergy website as well. But if I can pass on details to you, and you can
Perfect.
You can put that on there. But yeah, if you Google my name, and it's Tammy, T-A-M-I, so that's the interesting one. Everyone spells my name incorrectly, so T-A-M-I-R-O-O-S.
Perfect. Well, we'll put those links up on the site. So thank you very much, and I look forward to catching up next time.
Sounds great, James. Thank you for having me.
Cheers.
So there it is, folks. Episode 58 with Tammy Roos. I hope you got absolutely a lot out of that. I know I personally did, and always enjoy learning more about a practice that I do daily, and I really hope that you guys can make that a part of your daily routine, your daily ritual, and see the benefits. It's cannot stress how important that is, especially in this day and age of fast-paced world where we can't really take a break, get away from it. And I think this really is a game changer for many of you out there, wherever you are. Now, show notes for this, as mentioned earlier, eliteteamleadership.com.au/EP58. You'll find links to all Tammy's stuff, books and so forth. Check that out with other cool stuff on there. Guys, thank you very much for the shares. If you can, you know, share this on Twitter, get onto us, Elite Team Leadership, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Get on there, give us a like, give us a share. That really helps us out. And like I mentioned, spreads the word. This show is free. This is a show for anyone to get on board and really start to enrich their lives, to take their game to the next level, to really grow. And that's what we're all about here. This isn't just a show to, you know, talk rubbish, if you like. This is a show to really help you out and really give you some absolutely useful tools and not just, you know, junk, if you like, and hopefully have a bit of fun along the way, which we do. But ultimately, I really want to make sure this show has got the great content for you guys to, you know, take away, apply to yourself and see the benefits. So hope that is exactly what it is. And if it's not, let me know. But I hope that we share some really awesome content for you each week. And that's why we get guests like Tammy, the week before with Mick Moldhouse, week before that, Craig Hutchison. We keep those people coming through the door for you no matter where you are. So thank you very much for tuning in. Got a massive guest again on next week, which I'm really excited to share, actually. Got a really cool story. And again, some really cool lessons that we can get out of that one. Make sure you, you know, keep an eye for that. Usually comes out earlier in the week. But if not, get stuck in. Look forward to talking soon. Make sure if you have any questions, hit me up on social media, wherever it needs to be. But have a big week. Apply some of those principles and see the benefits. And love to hear about your meditation in the future as well. So enjoy.